In this episode of Middle East Files, Iraq is once again plunged in turmoil. A look at the phases of the past U.S. invasion and current fracturing led by ISIL, an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. Who are the international and regional powers that helped create this phenomenon? What is left for the future of Iraq and regional countries? Iraq, invaded, occupied, terrorized. In this episode of Middle East Files.
Hello, welcome to this edition of Middle East Files. This week's episode will give you a look at Iraq, invaded, occupied, and terrorized.
At this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
Of Iraq and the country is nowhere near recovery. The invasion and occupation of Iraq has made the nation weak and powerless. Here's a look at the post-invasion years of Iraq that helped create Takfiri groups flourish and create a fractured state.
May 1st, 2003, American cruise missiles stopped raining on the basin of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. But the destruction of Iraq continued. The events that followed U.S. invasion in March 2003 proved that the path of destruction in Iraq was only starting. Within weeks of the fall of Baghdad, a systematic dismantling of what remained of the Iraqi state commenced. The occupation authority chief, Paul Bremer, kicked off the so-called de-Ba'athification process. Bremer's order number one banned all public sector employees from any alleged links to the Ba'ath Party from being employed to the state again. As a result, over 15,000 doctors, teachers, engineers, and other qualified Iraqis who worked for the state were forcibly marginalized. As a direct result of Paul Bremer's orders, thousands of citizens who had the capacity to help rebuild Iraq were killed, marginalized, or forced to flee the country. The Provisional Occupation Authority gutted the Iraqi government of qualified staff. A weak central government in Baghdad allowed for the proliferation of local militias with varying degrees of influence throughout the country. One such group based in western Iraq was led by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. In October 2004, al-Zarqawi fighters pledged allegiance to al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. In the months that followed, the group then known as al-Qaeda in Iraq carried out a number of terrorist bombings targeting civilian markets, Iraqi government buildings, and religious shrines. In 2005 and 2006, bombings claimed by AQI killed thousands of Iraqis. In 2007, the destructive terrorism of al-Qaeda in Iraq led to the rise of the awakening movements, which battled with the extremists. By the end of the year, al-Qaeda in Iraq was weakened significantly and pushed out of its strongholds in al-Anbar and Diyala provinces. However, in 2009, as U.S. occupation troops pulled out of the country, terrorist bombings by al-Qaeda and other foreign elements operating in Iraq rose again. The bulk of its attacks targeted the Iraqi government. Religious shrines were also targeted. In 2010, a major military operation by the rebuilt Iraqi army dealt a major blow to the leadership of AQI. According to the U.S. military, 42 leaders of the group were either killed or captured. As a result, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi became the leader of what remained of the al-Qaeda in Iraq.
For further discussing the American invasion of Iraq is Dr. Akil Kairouz, and he is the author of The Impact of Violence on the MENA Region. Dr. Akil, as you know, America has caused major destruction to the state of Iraq. Now they're actually thinking of getting involved in Iraq once again. Haven't they caused enough damage already?
The American, unfortunately, they take certain decision nowadays, certain policies they go for, covered under a certain slogan that they are bringing to the world democracy, and they are democratizing the world, freeing the world from tyrants, despots, etc. Unfortunately, they don't study the culture of the area they go to. They don't study the people. They don't study the anything else. So they go around and they try to impose certain views that are foreign to the local people. And so therefore they fail. So in addition to this, the Americans are actors in international politics. They go wherever there is a chance, a possibility, so they can promote their own interest. And their own interest means economic interest. That means also military interest, strategic interests, and others. So they use us, whoever might be, they use us as pawns, as only tools so they can further their own or can develop their own interest. The Americans have gone into Iraq. They had no business going into Iraq. It's not their area. It's something they should not have been there in the first place.
Dr. Akil, let's now shift attention and speak about this extremist Takfiri phenomenon known as the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. And now they're actually at this forefront of the war, if you want. So who else is really helping or funding this extremist Takfiri group that's really causing chaos in not just Iraq, but in other parts of the world, including here in Lebanon?
In reality, there are several actors. First of all, you know that the financing is coming from the local. That means today when this group, like ISIL, they have gone through and they have taken some oil areas. So they get money. They were financed by Turkey. Turkey bought some oil from them for over around $1 billion. They also stole money coming from the banks. And also they have been financed by organizations from outside who have money, and they want to see that the conflict is really fomented and that the conflict is really going further so they can destroy the area and sell their weapons, their arms, or also coming back later on to help the area rebuild. So basically it's all a business action. But also more than that, that you have governments who are not doing much about it. Instead of moving in, unite, whether they are in the region or whether they are from outside the region. And you have the terrorist groups international, and you have the armed traders, and you have so many.
But can the Iraqi government then fight back?
No, because the Iraqi government is weak, divided. And see, you have the Kurds, you have the Shia, you have the Sunni.
Do you think the Iraqi government, though, is weak because of the U.S. invasion of Iraq? Do you think it has made the Iraqi government weak and powerless?
I wouldn't say they made them weak and powerless, but they did not train them to take over the government and to be really the state that they should be run today. There is no leadership.
A path for ISIL leadership to split from Al-Qaeda, form its own terrorist group, and fight on multiple fronts. The United States, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey have openly supported Takfiri militants in Syria. The conflict in Syria is believed to have provided Al-Qaeda in Iraq with a safe haven, along with free flow of funds and weapons. In the summer of 2011, the war in Syria was intensifying, and demand for foreign mercenaries to join the fight against the Syrian army was on the rise.
The government of Turkey facilitated the flow of foreign fighters into North Syria. The 600-kilometer-long desert border between Syria and Iraq has been porous since the fall of Baghdad. The borders with Lebanon and Jordan also saw militants trafficking activity, albeit in smaller numbers. The governments of United States, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey openly supported militants fighting against the Damascus government. Billions of dollars in weapons and cash from the Qatari and Saudi governments, as well as from private donors, were pumped into different factions to arm them. An investigation published in the London Review of Books in February 2013 put the numbers of battalions that were fighting in Syria at, quote, many hundreds. The bizarre-like situation on the business side of the war in Syria attracted foreign fighters from all over the world. However, organized extremist groups with war experience would dominate the scene. One of the groups to emerge as a major player in the Syrian war was the group headed by Iraq's Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. After the West and some regional countries did their best to weaken Syria, al-Qaeda found the territory a safe location to regroup, with a free flow of funds and weapons to them. The war experience accumulated in Iraq gave Baghdadi the upper hand over other Takfir groups fighting in Syria. The native Arabic speaker excelled compared with other battle-hardened extremist groups, such as the Chechen Jaysh al-Muhajirin wal-Ansar. Al-Baghdadi's success emboldened him. In April 2013, he made a move to expand his influence. Baghdadi announced the merger with another al-Qaeda affiliate fighting in Syria, Jabhat al-Nusra. The new merged entity is known as the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, or ISIL. The Levant, according to ISIL maps, extends from Lebanon on the Mediterranean to Kuwait on the Persian Gulf coast. Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri and Jabhat al-Nusra's Abu Muhammad al-Julani rejected the merger. However, many Jabhat al-Nusra fighters defied their old leaders and pledged allegiance to the rising Baghdadi. In November of the same year, Abu Omar al-Shishani of the Chechen GMA also pledged allegiance to Baghdadi. The ISIL had become the main force on the ground in much of the Syrian territory, which was previously controlled by anti-government forces. Their extreme measures against the population under their rule caused a lot of discontent. Smaller anti-Syrian government forces felt threatened by ISIL and formed an alliance to fight them. Despite anti-government forces being forced to retreat throughout Syria, ISIL still maintains control over large portions of northeast Syria, including the city of Raqqa. Raqqa was the only provincial capital to fall in the hands of anti-government forces in the 3 years of war in Syria. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's so-called state considers this city in the Euphrates Valley as its capital. Helping us elaborate on how Al-Qaeda in Iraq has become the ISIL is Iraqi politician Mr. Intifad Qambar. So Mr. Intifad, I want to begin with the question of, with calls of arming citizens in Iraq, are we seeing maybe this prolonged conflict take place in Iraq, and possibly where do you foresee the situation in Iraq heading?
Well, first of all, the takeover of Mosul, or the collapse of Iraqi military in Mosul, was the biggest blow to the Iraqi security in the past 10 years or 11 years since the fall of the regime of Saddam Hussein. This is a very serious blow, but it has also awakened, as I call it, the Iraqi giant against terrorism. Iraqis now are enlisting themselves to go and fight terrorism and ISIL everywhere in Iraq, and we have no shortage of people who are ready to sacrifice their lives and fight. The solution is not by accusing certain areas. Otherwise, we will turn to apartheid regime. I think Iraq has to be ruled by all sectors, has to be ruled by all religions, and has to be ruled by all national and ethnic backgrounds. This is an inclusive country. No one sect can rule and no one party can rule anymore.
Mr. Intifad, the events that are currently taking place in Iraq, how does that affect the region? I mean, places like Syria, places like here in Lebanon. What's your take? I mean, really, how are they all linked somehow?
If you look at the numbers, it's a bit scary, to be honest with you. ISIL was able to control over $1 billion of cash from the banks in Mosul. Thousands of vehicles and tanks and artillery, even airplanes, even helicopters. So that has given them a new material to fight. And to be honest with you, many of the young men in these areas, in local areas where it's under control, are enlisting to fight because many young men are hopeless, and they see any opportunity to change the situation. I think this new surge in cache of weapons at the hands of ISIL and money will have negative effects in the region. That's why I don't see any. I see very strong response from the Islamic Republic of Iran against this terrorism to support Iraqis, and I see also the Syrians also are concerned, and I think everybody should take this problem very seriously. This is a cancer could spread not only to Iraq, but could spread to the whole region and maybe to the whole world.
Last month, the ISIL took control of Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq, along with other parts across the western part of the country. The current situation is aimed at partitioning Iraq by the same powers which failed in Syria to redraw the Middle East map. June 10th, 2014, the Iraqi city of Mosul fell into the hands of ISIL in Iraq and Syria. The extremist Al-Qaeda offshoot had a triumphant return to the Iraqi scene after years of fighting in Syria. A group of former Saddam Hussein era Ba'athists assisted ISIL in its effort to take control of Iraq's second largest city. However, it is clear that ISIL is calling the shot. The control over Mosul and vast parts of the provinces of Nineveh, Al-Anbar, and Salah ad-Din gives ISIL significant and strategic territory that spans two countries. The area it controls is 5 to 6 times the size of Lebanon. The northern part of the border region between Iraq and Syria is home to many oil fields. A report in the Financial Times estimates that the wealth of the group almost tripled from $800 million to $2.3 billion after looting Mosul's banks and military bases. The Syrian army has in the past few months made significant advances on the way to regain control over Syrian territory. The success of Syrian government in surviving the imposed war dealt a severe blow to the regional powers, which had their eyes on Damascus. The Iraqi army seems to be ill-equipped to confront the ISIL threat. The government of Baghdad scrambled to cover its failures. Nouri al-Maliki fired 4 top military leaders after the fall of Mosul,
citizens of Iraq rallied with hundreds of Iraqi youths from different parts of the country, volunteering to join the army's defense effort against ISIL. The reemergence of pre-U.S. invasion figures like Izzat al-Duri is the latest twist in Iraq. Al-Duri was the only one of Saddam's top generals to avoid capture during the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq. He was Saddam's right hand since they took power in 1968. Thus, he was involved in the violent oppression of Iraqis that marked the Ba'ath rule. Al-Duri assumed the leadership of what remains of the Iraqi Ba'ath Party after the execution of Saddam Hussein in 2006. Since then, Al-Duri had very few public statements. In an interview with Al Ahram Al Arabi in January of this year, Al-Duri was very vocal in his praise of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. After 10 years in hiding, Al-Duri returns as an ally of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, leaving Iraq hanging between the ghost of the Ba'ath and terror of Al-Qaeda. The same powers which failed in Syria are suspected to be behind the move to partition Iraq. Giving us a detailed look about the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant in Iraq is retired Army General Mr. Ilyas Farhat. General Farhat, let's actually discuss the future expansion of this Takfiri group. And recently they have declared this Khalifa state, if you want. What are your comments here? I mean, how far are we going to see the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant actually expand?
The ISIL has occupied three provinces in Iraq, Nineveh and Al-Anbar and Salah al-Din. But they are not keeping it. The Iraqi army is still launching a counter-offensive against them. Here in Nineveh, they missed Tal Afar, which is a heavy populated area, about 400,000 people, still under the control of the Iraqi army. And in Salah al-Din province, from Baghdad to Samarra, it's under the control of the Iraqi army. And the refinery of Beji is under the control of the Iraqi army as well. Now the army is attacking Tikrit, the city of the capital of Salah al-Din and the city of Saddam Hussein. And in Anbar, and Anbar itself is a desert. It's all populated here in this area in Fallujah and Ramadi. So they have, it's a big in size, but actually it's not populated, heavy populated. But nevertheless, they can expand their caliphates to Jordan along the Jordanian-Iraqi borders and from Al-Muthanna, Ar'ar to Saudi Arabia. This is why the Jordanian army massed forces on the front lines of in Iraq. And there are news that the Saudi army also deployed forces in the area of Ar'ar against Al-Muthanna, fearing the infiltration of ISIL.
Do you think this group will actually, sooner or later, come against maybe Saudi Arabia or these countries?
They come sooner or later. You know about the organic Al-Qaeda and the world, they have the State of Islam in Iraq and Sham, which is ISIL, and they have the base of jihad in Arab Peninsula, which headed by Mr. Nasser al-Huwayshi, which is equivalent to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. But now, after the declaration of the Caliphate of Islam and appointing Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi as Khalifa for all the Muslims and all over the world, that means he is the Khalifa of Mr. Wahishi in the Arab Peninsula and the others of Al-Qaeda people and all over the world. It's very dangerous and it's a threat for all the region and all the world as well.
What kind of threat is this Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant posing for the region?
No, I think that when they occupied this area, they first of all attracted the Jabhat al-Nusra and the other militants Islamic militants in Syria and in Jordan and in Saudi Arabia, perhaps. Still, news from Saudi Arabia are not leaked for what was going on. Yesterday, a website leaked some that the issue, the communique of the Saudi Arabian king was due to some movements in Saudi Arabia by those militants. And you know, in Jordan, the media showed in Ma'an the demonstrations supporting ISIL, which means that they have a presence in Jordan.
They have supporters there,
and correct. Jordan. And you know, if you notice, Israel talks about the protection of Jordan from ISIL, and from the other side, Jordan says that they are protecting Israel from ISIL. Mm-hmm. So, and in the United States, there are many people. Of them is General Paul Vallely, which is the chief commander of Fox News. He says that Jordan is the next target of ISIL, which means that there is a danger for all the region, especially after declaring the caliphate, which is more sacred in their belief than ISIL.
Has been able to make significant progress in its fight against ISIL and other extremist groups. The Baghdad government, however, is still suffering the effects of the American invasion and occupation of the country. With foreign nations still interfering in Iraq's affairs, questions are being raised about the country's future. Analysts believe as long as the situation in Iraq continues to deteriorate, the whole region is in trouble. Thanks so much for watching this episode of Middle East Files. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.